Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that were there in your bulletin that when you walked in you received, and follow along with us this morning, we're going to talk about what you think about God. What do you think about God? Now, the children of Israel were going through a difficult time, and God's getting ready to help them. And in order to help them, he has to take some time to tell them about himself and the type of God that he is. And Isaiah chapter 40 is this chapter where he does that. And so God's going to tell them, here's who I am. Here's what you need to know. Here's how you should think about me. Now, as we go through this chapter, there's a term that is used called anthropomorphism. You can look it up later, okay? And I don't know how to spell it, so anyway. And that basically is when we give human character traits to God. It talks about God's hand. Well, God's a spirit. He's not like us. But in order for us to understand him, it is put in terms we understand. All right? Good? All right. First of all, he's bigger than you think. He's just bigger than you think. Well, Pastor, I think he's pretty... He's bigger than you think. Let's look at some things. First of all, God's compared to us. God compared to us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6. A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that the people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers, the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord, and so it is with people. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, there's a lot of different types of grass. We in Florida have the weirdest grass probably of anybody. It's always funny when people from north come down and, what kind of grass is this? Ooh, I don't like walking on that grass. You know, it's just kind of really different. And we water it so we can cut it. How much sense does that make? I don't know. And then, you know, but the writer, as often does, says, look, your life is like grass. It grows for a while, and then it's gone. It's cut. Paul said the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man. Now, here's the problem. We tend to make God a little bit bigger than ourselves. Okay? Now, we say, well, what's wrong with that? He's bigger than me. Well, here's the deal. When we're faced with a problem, we look at the size of the problem, and then we look at the size of God, and we think, I'll take care of this one. I can handle this. And then we create problems for ourselves, don't we? But you see, you and I are just like this blade of grass that's just held in a hand. Now, we spent a lot of money getting a hand model to do that, so you pay attention to this, okay? That's what we're like. Our life is here, it's gone, it goes for a moment, and then it's over. It's brief. As you get older, you look back and go, where did it go? How fast it went. And that's life. And God says, look, compared to you, you compare you to God, you're grass. That's your life. God's bigger than you think. Secondly, God compared to the waters. To the waters. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who else has held the oceans in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? The earth is approximately 71% water. In case you're interested, 139.43 million square miles. And he holds the oceans in his hands. All of it would fit into his hands. He's big. And then it tells us he measures the heavens with his fingers. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Let me put it in terms you understand. If you have a horse, the measurement of a horse is so many hands, isn't it? Hands about 4 inches. And we measure a horse by a hand. It tells us here that he measures off the heavens with his hands. He's a big God. Thirdly, God compared to the nations. To the nations. Isaiah 40, verse 15. No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. Since about 71% of the earth is water, that means that 29% of the earth is land, 57.43 square miles. And that all that land to God is a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket. It also says they're like fine dust. Fine dust. Now, if you ever went to somebody else's house, this wouldn't happen in your house, but in somebody else's house, okay? And as you're standing there, a ray of light comes through from the sun, and as you're looking at that ray of light, there's these little particles floating around in it, right? Your house is much cleaner than that, but you know how other people are, you know? You would never have that. Yeah, right. And so you're there. Do you know that it is physically impossible for you to choose a speck of dust and catch it? Because the moment you go after it, the force, the wind created by your hand pushes it away. Some of you are going to stay up this afternoon trying that, aren't you? Okay. All the nations of a world are nothing more than dust on the scales. Notice what else it says. They're nothing more than a grain of sand. A grain of sand in his hand is all the worlds. Take all the nations of the earth, put them on a scale, they're dust to God. The whole earth is a grain of sand in his hand. Are you beginning to feel a little small right now? You should, because God's so big. And then God compared to the universe. God compared to the universe. Isaiah 40, verse 22. God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root. When he blows on them and they wither, the wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Now, if you've been paying attention to the news this week, you will know that there has been a spacecraft that was landed on a comet. The spacecraft was launched in 2004. So for 10 years, this comet is traveling in space. When it landed, both the comet and the spacecraft were going 41,000 miles an hour. And they were 311 million miles from Earth. Scientists tell us that there are a trillion or so comets in our solar system. And God knows them all by name. How big are the heavens? If you were to travel at the speed of light, which is, ladies, speed of light? Oh, they're not math majors, okay, or physics majors or science. 108, write this down, you might have it in a test someday. 186,000 miles per second. If you were to travel at the speed of life, you would go around the earth 7.5 times in a second. Okay? Yeah. Now think, keep good, stay with me. The earth is how many miles from the sun? Boy, nothing, huh? 93 million miles, the earth from the sun. It would take you 8.5 minutes going at the speed of light to get to the sun. Now, let's jump up a bit. A light year is traveling at the speed of light for a year, or 5.88 trillion miles a year. Our galaxy is called the Milky Way. It is 150,000 light years across. That's pretty big. They say that you can see 1,029 stars with the naked eye. They say there is 200 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. And they say that there may be 50 billion galaxies in our universe. And God knows them all by name. That's incredible. They say there are as many stars as there is sand on the seashore. They're nothing more than like a canopy to him. God is bigger than you think. Hear me, I've said it before, let me just say it again. You can never make God too big. I mean, go by what just written here that we've just read this morning. God is incredible. His vastness is beyond understanding. His greatness is beyond knowing. You can never make him too big. He is bigger than you think. We serve a big God. We serve a great God. Who is over all, who knows all, where you and I are just like a grass to him, where he can hold all the waters in the world in his hand. The nations are just a drop in the bucket, like a piece of sand, dust on the scales, the stars, the universe. He controls it all. He named it all. He knows it all. None have been lost. None have been misplaced. He has it all in control. He's a big God. But this chapter doesn't just deal with that. It deals with another aspect of God that you have to keep with this. And that's this. He's also better than you think. You see, sometimes when you and I go through difficult times, we begin to make accusations against God and not being kind, not being loving. Not caring. And so God addresses that with Israel. First of all, we understand that God wants to comfort us. He wants to comfort us. Back to Isaiah chapter 40. First verse, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone, her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Please understand, God is a God of justice, isn't he? He doesn't wink at sin, we're told. He deals with it. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. The writer here says, look, your sin's been paid for. Your sin's been dealt with. Your sanctification has been provided. God says, I've forgiven it. And I want you to be comforted and know that I'm coming. I want you to know and understand that I care. I want you to know and understand that I am a God who loves you and cares for you and wants to comfort you. Because if we receive God, if he's for us, who can be against us? And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And we serve a God who wants us to be comforted. He is called in the Bible the God of all comfort. Now, here's the deal with comfort. In order for you to be comforted, you have to allow somebody to do that. Because I've dealt with people over the years, and I've dealt with children that I've raised. And if you ever had a child and you had to speak a little harshly to them and discipline them in some manner, and they get all bent out of shape, and you're not fair, and I don't love you, and you don't love me, and you know, all that dramatics that goes on with kids, you remember, right? Yeah, some of you are still in it, and they're 40, and so just kid, okay? And so they go, and so they're gone for a little while, and you go into them, and you try to sit down with them, you try to wrap their arm around, you go, no, don't. What are they doing? They don't want to be comforted. I want to comfort them. I want to tell them it's okay. It's over. It's done with. Let's go on. They're the ones resisting. For every person in this room, there have been times in our lives when we have refused God's comfort. We're mad. We're ticked off. We're not getting our way. We don't like the way things are going. We think it should have been handled differently. We think God should have done this or did that, and he didn't do it. And God comes and said, look, let me comfort you. No, I don't want it. I'm mad. I'm angry. Okay. God says, look, I'm here. And if when you're going through a difficult time, I am here to comfort you, if you will let me. And today, I don't know where you're at and what you're going through, but here's what I know about God. God wants to comfort you. Doesn't mean he's going to take and erase everything and, oh, good, oh, you're sad and you're upset. Oh, let me change everything for you. No, it does mean that he'll be there for you to put his arms around you and to say, I care. I care. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. Notice God's thoughts about you, they outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. God thinks about you and I a lot, doesn't he? Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted, bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them by name. How great is our God! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. That's the other thing that just kind of always kind of grates on me a little bit. Same child will say, and I could, never mind. You go in, and they look at you, I care, I know, it's hard, it'll be okay. No, you don't understand. Now, I know you've never said that. Yeah, right. That's our great comment, isn't it? When somebody tells you they don't understand, it means they want to stay stuck in their misery. That's simply what it means. Because you know what? God always understands. Oh, he's so big. How could he understand me? He thinks about you a lot. And here's something. He made you. He understands you very well. God even put all the little quirks about you in you. Okay? God wants to be the God of comfort. Secondly, God wants us to have confidence in him. He wants us to have confidence in him. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops, shout it louder. O Jerusalem, shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. He's coming. He's going to take care of you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to help you. Shout it out. Notice, don't be afraid. You see, when you allow fear to get into your life, what you are doing is saying, in essence, I don't have confidence in God. I'm more afraid of what might happen to me than I am convinced that God can help me. And so he says, look, don't be afraid. God's coming. God will not reject you. God is in control. He has not forgotten you. And one day, God is coming for us. That was really poor, okay? That was really weak. Because I think sometimes we do forget, and I think sometimes we are afraid, and I think sometimes we think, well, I'm not so sure of that. God says, look, I want you to trust me. And I want you to have confidence in me. And I will do everything I have promised. And I will not forget you. I will not forsake you. I will come for you. And you can count on it. Psalm 33, verse 6. The Lord merely spoke. The heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in a vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. If God says it, he's going to do it. He has the power to do it. If he can speak the worlds and the universe into existence, he can speak into our lives and make a difference. And his words can be trusted, and you and I need to have confidence in him because God is faithful to everything he promised. Thirdly, we must be careful when we accuse God of something. Be careful when we accuse God of something. Isaiah 40, verse 27. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? How can you say that? How can you say God doesn't care? How can you say God doesn't love you? How can you say God doesn't understand? When you say that, you're making an accusation against God, aren't you? And so we have to be aware of what we accuse God of. Here's what we know. God is very much aware of what's going in our lives. Well, Pastor, there's so many people alive and even in this room. How can God know everything? First of all, he's not like you. You and I think we know everything and we don't. But God does. And if he knows every star in the universe by name, I think he can safely say he knows every one of us by name, because the Bible also tells us somewhere else that he knows every hair on our head. And for some, you know, it's just not much. Okay? He knows us. He knows everything that's going on in our life, and he cares about what's happening. You and I can trust him. He knows what's going on. And he says, look, I'm going to take care of you, and I know what's going on. Now, here's where we get in problem. God knows what's best for us. Again, I'll go back to children, raising kids. You would tell your kids, look, I've been through this before. I want to save you heartache. I want to save you trouble. I know what's going to happen. I know how things work out. And as a parent, you try to protect them, don't you? And unfortunately, what happens to too many parents today, they are overprotective of their kids to their kids' demise. And then they're shocked when their children don't behave right. You know, you got to treat your kids like God treats us. I know what's best for you. I want to help you, but you've got a free will, and I'm not going to go against it. God doesn't force us. God says, look, I know what's going on. I understand what's happening. I have your best interest at heart. If you do this, there's a problem. And if you do this, there's a blessing. And he's always fair with us and never violates our will. He knows it all, who sees it all, and where do we get the idea that we can do something without God knowing about it? And so there needs to be a holy caution in our lives, because one day we're going to stand before him, and we need to be careful about what we're saying about God. Isaiah 45:11. This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hand, I stretched out the heavens, and the stars are at my command. I care about you. I want to help you. Don't be bitter and angry against me for what's going on in your life. Don't think for a moment I have forgotten you or don't understand you. I know perfectly well. And I'm dealing with each one of you individually because I care about you, but you have decisions to make that I will not overrule. And thus we can choose to serve God. We can choose to read this and hear this and think, ah, that's all bunk. We can choose to selfishly go on and do our own thing. But God still cares, doesn't he? He still does. Finally, God will give us courage. God will give us courage. Verse 28, Isaiah 40. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God says, don't you understand? I understand. If you will put your hope and trust in me, have courage, because I'll renew your strength. I'll walk with you. I'll take care of you. There is hope. And when you get tired, I will hold on to you, because God never gets tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary. He gives power to the weak. He gives wisdom to those who need it. He gives courage to those who step out by faith. He says, I am the God who wants to help you. Have courage, because I will strengthen you and take care of you. Psalm 8:3. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, birds in the sky, fish in the sea, everything that swims in the ocean currents. Oh Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. And we serve a God who says, I don't want you to get weary and tired. I will renew your strength, and I will help you. So here's the deal today. How big is your God? Is he big enough to save you? Is he big enough to answer your prayers? Is he big enough to deal with the pressure that you're up against? Is he big enough to handle the relationships that you struggle with? Is he big enough to help you in that financial battle that you're involved in? Is he big enough to help you with the sickness that's been discovered? Is he big enough to show you his will for the future? Is he big enough to guide you, to protect you, to care for you, to take care of you in everything in this life? Is he big enough to do that? Yes, he is, and bigger. And so the bigness of God becomes a huge issue in our lives, because it determines how we react to him when we go through the difficulties of life, doesn't it? He's bigger. So no matter what I face in this life, I serve a God who's bigger than all of it, who's able to control. Well, you know, we're up against this and we're dealing with this, and I'm not sure. You're right, you can't handle it. But for God, I think the guy who takes the universe and kind of makes him a tent and kind of knows all the stars by name can handle it. I think he knows. I think he cares. Because not only is he bigger than you think, he's better than you think. God loves you. God never tries to hurt you. God never tries to harm you. Now, God will let you have your way, and God will let you suffer the consequences for it. But God would rather you trust him and do it his way than yours. But he's always there, no matter what you do, to offer comfort, to give you the confidence that you need to live for him. But be careful when you begin to accuse him of being less than God. And take courage, because God is faithful. And we serve a big God who is bigger than we think and better than we think. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.